Coming up on this episode of the Starlet Pit Podcast, we give you our favorite, funniest lines from the Star Wars saga. We also talk about Star Wars Rebels, the EU, and the cast has been broken for Episode 7. We also talk about E.T. and this week's things that make you go, All that and more as the Starlet Pit Podcast is back, and it starts right now.
Just got to the Sarlacc pit.
And the powerful Pleiades.
The almighty Sarlacc.
Binds the galaxy together.
All powerful Sarlacc.
Its energy surrounds us and binds us.
Welcome to the Sarlacc Pit, official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com, the fans podcast. So grab your lightsabers and join your hosts, Matt Cranky and Chris Hoffice Planet, for this round of discussions.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, a podcast to help you digest everything in the Star Wars universe. Sarlacc Pit is brought to you by GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com, and we thank those guys for their support of the podcast. This is episode number 73 for May 4th. 2014. Yes, happy Star Wars Day to everybody. If you're new to the show, my name is Matt, your co-host. And let me bring in co-host and creator of the Starlet Pit Podcast, Mr. Chris Hoffice Planet Smith. Hey, Chris, it's May 4th. Welcome back. We're back. And what better way or what better time to come back than May 4th, Star Wars Day? What do you think? How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing good. And we didn't even plan it this way.
No.
We would just say, okay, we need to record, and we're like, okay, Sunday's good. How about Sunday? And I didn't even realize it was May the 4th that we were going to record on until yesterday. So, yeah, this is awesome.
Perfect day to come back. Hey, we're going to be talking about our favorite lines, our favorite funny lines from the Star Wars saga in a little bit. And we're also going to be talking some Rebels and some other things. We got things that make you go, I got a funny one for you today. But first, you know, everybody's talking about it, Chris. Let's get right into it. Big news. Finally, they announced the casting for Star Wars Episode 7. Finally, this long, over a year's wait, we finally got it. And just before we get into that, Chris, here's a quick clip of the Conan O'Brien show. Conan actually has some more special casting that he got access to. So check this out. Some new characters and new cast members coming into Episode 7 besides the ones we heard about. Check this out.
J.J. Abrams unveiled the cast for the new Star Wars movie, and everyone's fascinated by this. A lot of familiar names from the first trilogy will be back for the new film. And, of course, the Star Wars universe is so huge, a lot of other actors have been cast for all the new characters that they've come up with. In fact, this is a treat. Some of these actors are in our audience tonight dressed in their Star Wars costumes. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, they're here. I'd like to take a moment to introduce them to you. Here are the new Star Wars movie characters that happen to be in the audience tonight. Yeah! This is very exciting news. Yeah. We arranged to have them all here. If you believe that that was real Jesus footage, you'll believe this. Let's see. There's Jar Jar Bangs is here. There he is, yeah. There's Queen Coachella. There's Darth Get Off My Lawn.
Old guy.
There's Jobless the Hutt. There's the protocol droid that specializes in immature humor, I See a Pee-Pee. There's Admiral Snack Bar. Watch out for him. And finally, R2 Tattoo is here. Yeah. These are going to be...
Oh, Chris, that's obviously just a fun jab at Star Wars. But, it was really funny. If you got to see the pictures of the folks, they were actually panning the people in the crowd. It was pretty funny. And hey, I see a pee-pee, a new character. No, but hey, let's talk about it for real, though, Chris. Let's get into it. Let's get serious now. The big, it's not the big three, man. We're talking about the big, what is it?
Six?
Yeah, it's the big six, you know. Come on, we're not going to say big three anymore. Let's say the big six. Carrie's back. Harrison's back. Mark's back. Peter, you know, Anthony Daniels. We got even Kenny Baker in some form or another is going to be back to the saga. So, Chris, let's get your impressions first. The big three plus this new cast. Anything in here that any of these new cast members maybe that kind of excites you?
Well, no, not really as far as excitement, because I really haven't seen much that they've done.
Yeah.
This Domhnall Gleeson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's been in Harry Potter. He's been in the new Dread movie. He plays Ron Weasley's brother, one of Ron's brothers from Harry Potter. And one that did kind of jump out was this Andy Serkis. I mean, he's been in Lord of the Rings. I believe he did Gollum's voice. But I remember him, as soon as I saw his face, I remembered him from that movie 13 Going on 30 with Jennifer Garner. He played her boss in that movie. He played kind of a gayish character. And so I'm interested to see how these characters are. The other ones like Oscar and John and Adam, I don't know. I haven't seen them in anything. Or Daisy, I haven't seen her either. And I mean, she looks like she's probably going to be one of the daughters or something. Who knows what we're going to get. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm not mistaken, what isn't the Timothy Zahn trilogy canon?
You know, that's a good question, because I know there's a couple of
I know Shadows of the Empire is canon.
Shadows, right.
And I was thinking that is...
No, because we'll talk about this in the EU. I think it's part of the Legends... the new banner called Legends, as far as the EU is concerned. So I guess that would not be considered canon anymore.
Okay. Well, then if that's not canon, then, you know, I was thinking about this when I was sitting here looking at the cast, and I was like, does that makes her one of the children? I guess it's not canon, because if so, then they would have probably three kids at least.
Because
I think by this time period, the twins would be born and possibly... You know, Luke would be married to Mara Jade, and I don't see another female for Mara Jade, so I guess.
Right.
You know, I hope I hope Daisy's not Mark's love interest. There's a bit of an age difference there.
Now, you know what they talk about, Chris? You probably heard this, is the way that they situated this cast around this picture is, I guess, sometimes they'll do this specifically when they do reads, to put characters with certain characters to show the connections. And everybody's talking about how this new young actress is Daisy Ridley, that she's in between, you know, which we think obviously is Han and Leia.
Yeah.
So everybody's thinking like, well, it's obviously the daughter. And then as the cast goes around, you see Mark next to C-3PO. So maybe C-3PO has a lot of scenes with Mark. You see Andy Serkis, which you just mentioned, which is crazy. And that one came out of the blue, Chris, as far as like announcement. I mean, we had no clue.
Yeah.
This guy was not even on the radar, even in the rumors. Mm-hmm. He wasn't in the radar. So that was a crazy casting. And that one's one of the most exciting ones, because this guy has done some unbelievable work with Lord of the Rings, Planet of the Apes, King Kong. I mean, that's just a couple of things he's done. And all the mocap stuff he does is just fantastic. So the big assumption is he's going to do some crazy mocap character, maybe that we've obviously never seen before. So that's really exciting. But to see have an actor of that kind of caliber come in to do maybe a mocap character. So, what do you think about the big, obviously the big six are coming back? No surprise to us, right?
Yeah, that's not much of a surprise. And, you know, another name that shocked me, he's not actually in the picture, is the Max von Sydow character. Oh, wow.
Max von Sydow, yeah.
You know, he has been in so many things.
Yeah.
And to me, I would... do you think Jedi character, but...
You know what I heard, Chris? This is just like the last couple of days. I heard something about him doing a voice of a certain character.
Huh.
But maybe that's why he's not in, you know, in the... this main casting picture. So either he's doing a voice or he's just not that big of a character. I put it along the lines of a Terrence Stamp in episode.
Yes.
In the prequel trilogy, or a Christopher Lee, of course, Dooku. obviously he had a pretty big role, but you'd think you'd see Saito in a picture like this if he had a really significant role. I think what you're seeing right here is going to be, you know, the main body here that's going to have most of the most of the work, at least in episode 7. So
yeah, and now we just kind of sit and wait as we get more tidbits, like which characters are they playing. We know that'll be coming down the line. I mean, we're not going to have to wait till you walk in to see the movie to know who's playing what character.
Right.
You know, we'll get that at some point, slowly probably.
Yeah, then, you know, another character, not another character, but another actor is this Adam Driver. And the reason, like, I'm just, like, drawn to this guy is, first of all, I think just by the way he looks, he just has this, like, and I don't mean to be, like, mean about it, but he just has this really peculiar look. And he looks like he's going to be some sort of bad guy, you know. Uh-huh. He just has that look. He's just a very bizarre, you know. Whether it's going to be a dark force user or a Sith, we don't have no clue yet. But I'm really interested to see what they do. This guy's got just a look that I'm drawn to as far as
maybe when I see him, he kind of has this traitor quality.
Yeah,
it's somebody that could be good, but. That, but you got to watch out for that guy because he's probably a traitor. Mm-hmm. You know, could easily go both sides. So,
yeah, there's been lots of course, speculation about the other cast members. The English guy, what's his name? I think it's John Boyega. They talk about him. He could be another Jedi. Of course, we talked about Adam Driver there just a second. Oscar Isaac, they talked about him possibly being another Han Solo type character. I can't wait to see, you know, I don't want to be spoiled as the whole thing, but I'd like to know what these characters are playing, obviously, and maybe what the movie's about. And, you know, are we going to see a rebuilding of the Sith? Did you hear the proposed title that got blown out of the water just hours after it got released? I think it was the Order of the Jedi. Did you hear that one?
Uh-uh. No. But
that was one of the rumors going around, it was going to be episode 7, Order of the Jedi, which kind of sounded odd. I was like, well, I don't know about that, but you know, a title's a title, big deal.
I don't know. I wonder about this. You know, we say Luke will be starting a new Jedi Order. To me, it's kind of like, okay, how much time do we have between the movies? We're talking about 40 years, 45 years. Mm-hmm. Then at what point will it be in this movie? Will it be just getting started? Or just coming to light? You know, Luke's been working underground for years, and it's just now coming up to where they're strong enough to where they can come out into the open, or will Luke be just getting started with it and picking up, you know, force users?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just makes you wonder, because it's like, okay, are we going to see that in this film, or is it going to be set up for a later film?
Right.
You know.
And did you see the pictures that there were some tweets? Peter Serafinowicz tweeted a picture of him, and of course he's the voice of Darth Maul. But he tweeted a picture of himself and Mark, and Mark actually looked really good. I mean, as far as being 60 years old, he had like a slight beard going, but he looked like he had, you know, lost some weight, looked in just a ton of better shape, and just really looked good. So I was like, wow, he's looking good. He's getting ready for the part. Of course, it seems like they had to get this news out because everybody was spotting Harrison, Carrie, Mark over in London. It's like, okay, you can't hide this any much longer.
Yeah, so we got to say something now. I know when I saw that, I was like, well, I guess we'll be hearing something soon.
yeah. But just a really cool picture. I mean, the first picture we got, it's a great picture. All the cast is kind of talking, and it looks like they're getting ready to do a table read, kind of just getting acquainted with each other. And I said this on a different podcast. I was like, wow, you know, the only like weird thing is there's no George in this picture, you know, no Lucas. And it's almost bizarre to see a picture of a script read of Star Wars and not have George Lucas involved. But, you know, he's off doing his own thing now, and he's put this in good hands, and it's great to see you know, JJ sitting there talking to Harrison, and of course you got Larry Kasdan sitting next to him, so definitely this thing is in good hands. And we'll see. And you know, the other casting thing I heard in the last couple of days was you know, they're talking about, it's not officially done. They're talking about maybe adding another female cast member. And this one, Lupita Nyong'o, she's been rumored to be crazy enough. I've heard rumors of her being Asajj Ventress. Now, you know, I don't know what they're doing as far as episode 7. They talked about, you know, they're not going to use any of the EU stuff, or at least, you know, they're going to try to do their own thing. But it doesn't mean they can't bring in Asajj, even though she's been as part of the Clone Wars. She's not EU anymore. She's part of the Clone Wars. She's part of the Star Wars canon.
That'd be a lot of time, though. You're talking about 65 to 70 years to get to one?
Yeah. Hmm. Well, if she's in the Clone Wars, I guess, you know, you could say, at least 40 plus, definitely, because you're talking Clone Wars all the way to episode 7. Yeah, I don't know. That could be a stretch, but who knows her species if she...
We don't know exactly what this timeline is going to be, you know. Is it 40 years after Jedi, or is it 20?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know yet. Well, I would say 40, probably close to 40 because of the age of the characters, but...
Yeah. You know, it's funny, I heard a lot of, like, of course, with nowadays, with social media and everything going crazy, like, everybody, all the Star Wars fans saw this picture, and it just, like, went viral, went crazy. I remember you texted me a picture in the morning, I was like, yes, you know, and then StarWars.com shuts down because the traffic is so crazy. I mean, it just blew up the internet. And this is just a picture of a table read, and it's like... You know, Chris, we both thought that, we kind of knew this was coming and not necessarily, like, big news, but it's still just, like, just to see it and just to know it's happening and they're there, it kind of re-excites you, you know? You're like, wow, this is great. Yep. Even though we're trying to be calm about it.
Forget that, it's man.
It's still really hard not to get excited.
Yeah, this shows the power of Star Wars because, like you said, I mean, I sat down and on the computer and I saw it 17 minutes after it posted, because I remember I said, I was like, oh, 17 minutes ago. Oh, sweet. Yeah. So I shared it to, you know, Classic, got that going, and our page blew up from the traffic. And of course, I started texting people, and my phone's going nuts. And Mark's texting me back and forth from Yoda's News, and, you know, he's swamped getting, you know, emails and stuff at him. And I had looked over after about 30 minutes. That picture from StarWars.com had been shared like 70,000 times in just 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
I was like, good Lord. And I don't know if you saw it, but Yoda's News tweeted Billy Dee Williams. And asked him, said, we don't see you in the picture. Does that mean that you're not in it? I mean, did you turn them down or were you not asked? And his response back was, I would never decline. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, I guess that means he wasn't asked. Maybe his character's not in it at this point. Who knows?
Right. And, like, you know, he could come back in one of the other two sequels, so you never know. But, that was another thing, too. Not seeing George and, of course, Lando. He kind of made his way as a favorite character in the last, you know, Empire and Return of the Jedi. So, but, hey, that's the way it is. And this not everybody's going to get to come back. And, yeah, but like I said, we might see him in 8 or 9. Who knows?
Yeah, I hope he's in there somewhere.
Yeah, definitely. And it's great to see Peter Mayhew coming back as Chewie. He had those knee replacement surgery, and he looks like he's back to be able to do the part. You got to have someone like that in the costume just because of his mannerisms and the way he moves as Chewie. I mean, you couldn't see anybody else doing that. So that was good to see him back.
Yep. And what I was concerned about.
You know, there was, like I said earlier, this thing went viral. And now that social media is here, there's always some negativity around anything, right? No matter how good it is, there's going to be negativity. And I did hear some rumblings about how, I don't know who it was, but people are upset that there's not enough girls or women cast in this movie. And, I mean, come on, the two of the main characters are women. I mean, you know, Carrie is going to be, as Princess Leia, she's obviously a main character. And this Daisy... She's going to be a main character. I mean, she's in there with his script read with his main cast. So I don't really get the you know, there's not enough women in this thing. I mean, Star Wars, let's face it, not that it can't be for everybody, but this was made for the guys. This is made for the boys. You know what I mean? I mean,
young boys.
Yeah, and it's going to be made for the guys. And it's no like, I don't mean any disrespect to any fans out there that are women. I mean, there's tons of great Star Wars fans that are women. It's just, you can't be mad at that because this is what it's made for. I mean, my wife is a year younger than I am. She grew up in the same era as I did, you know, but she has no clue. She never saw Star Wars. She didn't give a crap about that back in those days, you know. They were into, you know, Scott Baio and Leif Garrett and all that kind of crap, you know, whatever.
That's some nostalgia there.
You know what I mean? I mean, she could care less about Star Wars. I mean, she knows it's part of my life, and she enjoys the movies now. I mean, she never saw them until I introduced them to her, you know, a long time ago. So, I don't know. It's just, I kind of get a little like, come on.
Yeah.
Let's not get so negative that two of the main characters are going to be women. Let's relax.
I saw that too, and I was kind of the same feeling. I was kind of aggravated. And shockingly enough, yes, I know who Scott Baio and Leif Garrett is. I know exactly who both of them are. But, you know, the one I saw was that about the women, and the same thing, they mentioned minorities. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm just.
It's always something, you know, they gotta complain about something. And that's just the way it is.
Break it, like what you said, if you break it down, you take the original trilogy, it was about Luke and Leia. Mm-hmm. Twin brother and sister. Well, yeah, you're talking about a rebellion, and there wasn't but the one woman that was visible in it. And then we go back to the prequels, and yeah, you got Padme, but you also have Mon Mothma. You have other female alien characters like Shaak-Ti and various other females in there. And then you get to the Clone Wars, and you got Ahsoka Tano and the other female characters. So yeah, the original trilogy, there was really only the one woman in that small group of rebels, because that's what it was about. And I'm just like, come on, give me a break.
and it's not that I'm opposed to having, like, hey, they talk about this new, another cast member could be another female lead. So that's great. I mean, I'm all for it. And there's fantastic female Star Wars fans out there. I mean, they're holding the torch. I mean, there's podcasts out there just dedicated with female hosts and showing their love. And you got Ashley Eckstein doing her thing. I mean, it's great. And I know it's just a lot of trolling going on in forums about how there's no females. So I know it's not representative of the main Star Wars
fans. It's just people that just want to complain to be complaining about something, really.
Right, right. So that's good, man. That's what we got going on so far. The cast has been announced, and we'll get some more, obviously more stuff coming as the weeks go on. But hey, let's go into May the 4th is today, and we got a trailer for another show called Star Wars Rebels. And, of course, we all know about that. We're Star Wars fans. We're probably looking forward to this show. And they debuted a new trailer today, and let's take a listen to that.
In a time of darkness, when fear ruled the galaxy, heroes will rise. Destinies will collide.
Who is that kid?
And a rebellion will ignite.
Get ready.
Now!
Who are you guys?
We're a team.
What part of Blast Them did you not understand?
All troopers, focus your fire on the Jedi.
Star Wars Rebels. Join the Rebellion. Coming this October on Disney XD.
Inquisitor, I have encountered a rebel cell.
You did. All right, Chris, that's the trailer that just came out today. And, of course, I'm pretty excited about this. This is an era that I've always been intrigued about. And watching the trailer, I was just, you know, I'm still excited about it. The animation is a different style than the Clone Wars, and I think it looks great. It has that Disney feel to it. And watching some of the clips, I see just that old, familiar OT feel mixed with all these new characters, and it looks great. I mean, you see in the trailer, you see stormtroopers running down the classic, you know, hallway, and you see the Star Destroyers. TIE fighters mixed with this new cast of characters. I think it's going to be a great, great show, and I'm looking forward to the summertime when we get that 1 hour special coming. So what's your any new feelings on this Rebels? You still excited about it?
I kind of feel about the same way. It's weird when I sit down and look at the trailer, the music gets me excited.
Oh yeah, music too.
The new characters, I have mixed feelings. I'm a little depressed because they're new characters, but then I'm excited because they're new characters. I mean, yeah, we get some new characters, and we don't know where this is going to fit in to the original trilogy yet. And the fact that we see the stormtroopers, I mean, you got to see a lot of stormtroopers in the trailer, so I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
So I'm psyched. So to me, it's basically going to be the Empire. It's been growing, and then we have the small rebels, which work their way in to start and form the rebellion. So I'm excited to see it. I'll be sitting there watching it, you know, like I did with the Clone Wars, DVR it and watch it first chance I get.
Right.
Not sitting there watching it. But yeah, I'm still excited about it. I'm a little disappointed we got new characters, you know, because it's in this point I want to see some classic characters. But
right. Yeah.
But, you know, it's got to start somewhere and we'll see how it goes. You know, I'm enjoying it so far.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to – who knows if we're going to see any of our favorite characters come in this series. That's one big, I think, surprise. Maybe they're going to save, or I don't know. I think that would be a big, big surprise, a big shock to introduce a character here and there that we all know.
I'm expecting to see Mon Mothma and Bail Organa somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
If not, I wouldn't be surprised to see Mon Mothma pretty heavily in this, just because she's like – you know, it's pretty much her, then Bail Organa, and then that'll have to be, well, you know, if Bail's in there, you know, Leia's going to be there at somewhere as a kid or however old they will be at that time. And
right.
I'm wondering if even Luke would even be mentioned, but I'm excited. Can't wait to get started in it to see where it goes, you know?
Yeah, I think it's one of those, like, it's like Clone Wars. I mean, I jumped on Clone Wars, Chris, after it had already started. It was already five or six episodes in. I had DVR'd them like you had just said, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll get to them because it was an animated show, and I was like, all right, it's not movies or anything, and it's not live action TV, so I'll get to it. And then I got into it, and I was like, oh, whoa, this is a lot different than what I thought it was going to be. You know, it gets kind of deep, especially when you got to the end of the season. Season six has been going well, so I think this is going to be one of those shows where, like the Clone Wars, we got introduced to new characters, Ahsoka, and she turns out after five seasons. One of our favorite characters, favorite characters coming out of the saga, period, not just Clone Wars. To see her walk away of the Jedi at the end of season five was like crazy. Big, big reveal and a big shocker. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just one of those we're gonna have to watch, and we're gonna have to get invested in these characters as the show goes on, and I think we probably will do that. So
yeah, I think it's important to give this show several episodes.
Right.
Like you said, we're gonna have new characters, give them a chance to grow those characters, see which direction they're going before you make a judgment on the whole thing.
Right.
Because we don't know what it's all going to tie into as far as how it's going to end up. We know where it ends up, basically, but, you know, we don't know how long the series is going to run.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, hey, if we got five or six seasons of this, oh my goodness, just think of the possibilities of what we could see. So.
Right. And speaking of those, like, characters that we want to see, like, maybe... especially the OT stuff, even Vader. I think Filoni mentioned it a week back, and some, I don't know if it was on a podcast I listened to or just a clip, a show clip, but he had mentioned about the, you know, like these are things where, like when they talk about the Inquisitor, he's dealing with these rebel factions because they are just small little problems, little militias, something that maybe Vader wouldn't spend his precious time with dealing with, you know what I mean? So he's going to have his underlings deal with this. And who knows if we're ever going to see Vader in this, but that's kind of what Filoni's explanation was about. Hey, you know, because we all thought in this time period before we knew who the characters were, we thought, oh man, we're going to get to see Vader and this and that. But he's kind of mentioning that, you know, these are, like I said, this is a beginning of the Rebel Alliance. So maybe Vader's not specifically targeting these little small little groups. So he's going to send out his henchmen. So, but you never know. We never know who we're going to see, and it'll definitely be a big surprise. I think they will do some surprises like they did with the Clone Wars. I mean, we got Darth Maul back. I mean, how huge was that to get Darth Maul back? So I think they will do some crazy stuff like that in the coming seasons.
Yeah, I definitely think we'll get there.
Yeah.
Just a matter of time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And like I said, I'm excited for it. If anybody listening to this show, if you want to hear another take on Rebels, rebelspodcast.com, me and Mike over that do the Clone Wars, we're doing a show on this one as well. So if you want to check that out, I think you guys will like that. Chris, we got one more thing I want to talk about, the EU. Did you want to save your announcements for after that, or you want to do one of them now?
I can go ahead and do them now. It's
yeah.
They're brief.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, yodasnews.com has posted up this particular article, so I want everybody to jump over to yodasnews.com and check this out. It's called The Force Unites to Help a Legend. And what this is it has to do with Shannon McRandall, who mm-hmm. is known as Mara Jade. She was... When they created Mara Jade back in the day, I mean, she was in the books, but when they decided to make that character more of a character, they put an actual human person to her character so that she had a human counterpart. Mm-hmm. And Shannon went on to do photo shoots, and then she did conventions for many, many years. I got to meet her a couple of times. She was a very nice lady, very easy to get along with. She was just a super lady. But she has cancer, mm-hmm. and she's been battling it for quite a while. So jump over to yodasnews.com and check out this Force United to Help a Legend. They're doing, I believe, they're doing some kind of charity. I haven't read the whole thing. Mark was telling me about it this morning, so he said it's just a charity event. So everybody please jump over there and take a read at it, and if you can, just help out by donating.
Looks like they're doing an auction as well.
I don't know, but yeah, I'm sure it's an auction, but I'm not sure on all the details because they just sent it to me a couple hours ago.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
I didn't have a chance to read all of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but the other announcement that I wanted to make is just a small announcement. Me and Mark Picciarelli from YodasNews.com, we have formed a new company called Twin Sons Media. I wonder where that name came from, huh? But basically, all this is for us is me and him have been working for the past 6, 7, 8 months on Facebook pages, and we've started several Facebook pages in our group. Classic Star Wars is one of them. It's still a group effort because we still have like 8 admins on there and people that contribute, but other pages that we have added on over the last 6 to 8 months, like my Battlestar Galactica 1978 page. We got Toys from the 80s page. And many others that I'm drawing a blank on right this second, but many others that we're working with. And what this basically is we're putting them all together and running them together underneath this name. And then we've also started some websites. My Lego Star Wars style Facebook page. We just started a website on that called LegoStarWarsBeyond.com. So you could stop by and check that out. We just gotten started on it. Still got a long way to go as far as data, you know, filling in the database. But basically, this is what this company is. We're just dealing with media of these websites and these Facebook pages. So we're just getting started, but it's a lot of fun, and it's something that I get to enjoy and work on every single day now. So
there you go. That's good. And Mark is a great guy over at Yoda's News. I mean, these guys do fantastic stuff. The giveaways they do on Yoda's News is just unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the prizes that they give away. So make sure you're checking Yoda's News and all those Facebook pages. Great stuff, fun stuff coming out all the time. Every day there's some great stuff coming out. So check those out. And, hey, we also got, just before the casting news, Chris, Star Wars had a big announcement regarding the expanded universe. And they basically said that starting now, you know, everything involved in Star Wars is going to go through one story group, and everything is going to be canon now. So that's actually a good thing. I think that's great because you don't have to worry anymore. Like I remember since the EU started all those years ago with the Zahn trilogy that, you know, you always think, well, oh man, this isn't part of the universe, so do I want to invest my time in reading it? And some things you did. I mean, I enjoy a lot of the EU, the comics, the video games. I enjoy it for what it is. I don't take it like – I don't read it. And then when I see something come out in Clone Wars, get all mad. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe they did that because this is what happened in this particular book. So I'm glad that they're doing it now. This big story group, everything goes through them. Everything's going to be canon from this way on. They got books coming out. They're going to have video games, of course, the movies, the Rebels. Everything's going to be canon now. So that's cool. Because I was never like, I don't know about you, Chris, but it always like bothered me. Like there was all these levels of canon. To me, just personally to me, it was just Lucas canon and everything else. It was not, you know, everything. This is canon. I didn't get the, oh, this is TV canon and this is movie canon and this is EU canon or comic canon or whatever it was. To me, it's just if it's canon, it's canon. It's Lucas canon or it's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just me. That's just the way I took it. I'm a little older. I'm not into the EU like a lot of these fans are. And let's not. And let me just say this too, Chris. The EU has been instrumental in keeping Star Wars alive. I mean, back in the 80s.
Oh yeah.
After Return of the Jedi, I mean, it kept Star Wars going, and some fantastic writers, artists, all that. Anybody involved, I mean, there's some great stuff out there, no doubt, no doubt at all. But now what they've done with all that stuff, Chris, is they made it Legends. So anytime you get a book or whatever, if you see that Legends banner on it, you're just going to read it knowing that this is just a fun, basically it's fan fiction. And I said this before, and I don't mean it as a slight to any of these great authors. Like, to me, all that EU was fan fiction done by some fantastic authors and some great stories. And I know it sounds like a negative term, but it's not. I mean, there's really no difference between, you know, pick an author that did anything, whatever, Lucino, writing something and me writing something. It's the same, right? It's not canon. It's fiction. Not the only point is he's a million times better author than I could ever be. You know what I mean? So that's how I looked at it. And
yeah,
you know, plus, I don't know what's your feeling on the EU as far as like it's coming around, everything's gonna be EU now, but how do you feel about that?
Well,
story.
I think it's awesome. I think it's fantastic. I mean, before to me, there was a fine line to me. Basically, it really hasn't changed in my mind. Mm-hmm. Because originally how I saw it, yes, you're right about the G-level canon. Yeah, you have the movies, and then you have, like, Shadows of the Empire became canon, Clone Wars, all this stuff. But still, all of the EU affected everything. Everything was connected. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, we've mentioned it before, back when the Timothy Zahn book came out, and it just blew up. And then Lucasfilm was shocked. Oh, people still want to see still want Star Wars, so they started doing books, and every one of them were instant sellouts. But even back then, at that point, you know, it's kind of like, well, does this? I always assumed it affected the Star Wars movies. I didn't know any different because I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But then George and them made the distinction of G level that there was a difference, but yet all of the EU still connected. Whatever happened in this book would affect what happens in the book that comes after it, which was a genius move by them to not screw it up. They started early to do that. But actually, I like this idea. And it, you know, I still see people that are upset, and the reason people are upset is because they're like, great, now we're not going to get the Thrawn trilogy into a movie. Now we're not going to get the Legacy series into a movie. Well, you know, yeah, that's disappointing, but would you rather see something new, or do you want to just see this particular book put on the screen? Yes, right. I would love to see both, but yeah. I would rather take something coming new opposed to, hey, let's put this on the screen and risk the chance of it not working as well as the book and blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just my thought on it. I think it's an awesome idea. I think it's, I mean, why not? They're sitting there saying, they're not doing like Star Trek did. You know, back in the day, Star Trek, you had the TV canon and then you had the book canon. They were two separate things.
Right, right.
Which I like the way they've done this. Hey, it's all connected. Make it all canon. Boom.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I think I don't know if you're going to get as many like stories and books and all that than we used to, because it wasn't canon. So it didn't have to really go through too many. You know, a lot of stuff Lucas never even read, right? Just like, here's the play. And kudos to him for letting people play in his sandbox for all these 30-plus years to do that, to make a living in his universe.
It allows us to do what we're doing right now.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So I don't know that we're going to see tons of material, because it's got to go through the story group and what a job that's going to be to keep everything in line. And I think you're going to get some really fun, creative stuff. And it's all, and you're going to read it and you're going to go, no, you're going to know when you read it that, hey, this is part of canon. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing that with me, like with a lot of the EU, that would kind of turn me off sometimes because going into it, I'd think, well, this is going to be a read for fun, which is great.
Yeah.
But sometimes I would skip over books and stuff because I knew that it wasn't going to be, it's not part of what George Lucas's vision was, or now Disney's vision of where Star Wars should go. So I skipped over a lot of things. Yeah. And
especially if it included characters that were in the movie.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially like when you talked about stories about Luke and Han and all that. And wow, you know, you'd really have to read that and go, wow, you know, this is, you know, Chewie dying. I mean, come on. Who's going to let that happen? That's just crazy.
But look at what this, to me, I think what this particular action will benefit the most would be the standalone movies that they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could take that the book on Yoda, The Labyrinth, I forget the exact name of the title, and you could just do a movie right behind that. Bam. You got a setup ready to go and go. And to me, this kind of makes you think, too, they timed this perfectly because they're re-releasing the Han Solo trilogy and the Lando Calrissian trilogy from the late 1970s, early 80s are coming out here soon. So, hey, they're canon.
Right.
Wouldn't that kind of set you up a little bit for the so-called Han Solo movie coming? You know, I had those when I was a kid. I never read the Lando. I remember reading some of the Han, but these are two books that I think I want to check out, or two trilogies of books that I wouldn't mind sitting down reading now to learn more about what they were like before they came about with Chewie and before they met Luke and Leia. So,
right. Yeah, so when you see those books, you'll see that little banner that goes around them. So you'll know exactly what you're going into or what you're getting to, whether it's canon or not. So anything from now on.
So everything. That includes comics, video games. Everything is canon, huh?
Yeah, everything's supposed to go through the story group. So, like, when we get this new Star Wars video game, whatever it's going to be, apparently that's going through this story group as well, and it's going to be canon. So, and then the comics, yeah, I would assume that's going to go through that. Everything's got to go through the story group. So,
well, you know, the comics is fixing to end anyway this year. The Dark Horse is going to end, and Marvel will pick it back up. So,
right.
I mean, this new the series that's going on right now, just Star Wars, that has been a spectacular series so far.
Oh, yeah.
Been fantastic. So I'm curious to see where that goes. And look, don't put it past Marvel to pick up right at the end of that, if that's the case. Because they would do that. I mean, I know this isn't Star Wars, but Marvel just here in the last couple of months have kind of rebooted Marvel again. And, you know, and then they come out with this new Amazing Spider-Man series, which hasn't been, Amazing Spider-Man series hadn't been out in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, it picks up right behind the Superior Spider-Man series that they just ended. So they ended that one and then basically retitled it. So,
right.
I wouldn't put it past Marvel to pick up that Star Wars title and keep going with it.
Yeah.
So
that'd be fun too. That's a great series. That's been Brian Wood writing that thing. It's been fantastic. So good stuff. Anything else, Chris, going on news wise you want to mention? I know San Diego's coming up. They're talking about the Jabba the Hutt as the con exclusive, and we were just talking about that before we started. That's obviously a really great character. Is it going to be on the dais too as well, with a couple of creatures with him? Is he going to get Salacious Crumb with him too?
From what I can tell, he's going to have just his little like smoking pipe thing and the little apparatus sitting beside him, and then Salacious Crumb. I doubt we'll have his throne or anything. Maybe that'll be something coming later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because mentioned the speeder bike. But they haven't said anything about a throne. They haven't shown it. I'm just kind of hoping that.
Okay.
It looked kind of silly not having Jabba on his throne to me.
Yeah, I know. That's the one thing I was thinking about, too, is like, God, you got to have, if he's got Salacious Crumb and the pipe and all that, don't you have to have the dais as well? But We'll see. Maybe it's just part of the packaging.
Maybe they'll have that coming down the road for $20. I mean, just a block for him to sit on.
Yeah. As another exclusive, that's going to be hard to find, especially that, like last year's Boba Fett.
Yeah. When I saw that was going to be the San Diego exclusive, I was like, man.
Yeah.
Crap. Got some hard work to get that one.
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, and the 6-inch is still going well. We've been talking about it, just like I said before we started recording, and just a little bit of disappointment in this next wave that we're going to be getting another Boba Fett. But fans of this show, rest assured that I've been getting cases sent to me of every wave. So looks like we got a Boba Fett that's going to be up for a prize here in a few months to give away on the Sarlacc Pit podcast. So. Awesome. Another one of those coming in wave four, right, Chris? Along with, what was the other? It's another Stormtrooper, right?
Yeah, we got another Stormtrooper, which won't be given away because,
if you're like, those.
Exactly. If you're like me, you got to keep Stormtroopers. And then the two new figures is going to be episode 3 Anakin and then episode 2 Clone Trooper. So in a way, you know, we get all this news. Hey, we got wave four coming. We're talking about Chewie, talking about, Emperor Palpatine, talking about all these new characters that we don't get them. And they come up here and show wave four and they put two reissues in there, which in a way it's fine because yes, they're trying to meet that demand because still Boba Fett's, you have to pay $40-$45 plus if you can find Boba Fett. And then the same thing with the Stormtrooper. It's going for about $35 plus. So they're just trying to make the demand. And so, you know, give people like me and you a little bit of a break.
Right. and I like that too, because especially the Stormtrooper, because I'm going to have two of those at least, and then when I get to Vader, he's going to go right in between those two Stormies, so it's going to be it's going to be cool stuff. Anything else, though, before we get into our topic and things that make you own?
I don't think so.
Think so? All right.
I need get a drink, so.
Yeah, let's get into things that make you go, hmm. All right, Chris. So today I thought that, you know, usually in this segment I scour my brain and think about things that in the saga that I've always had questions about. But this one, actually, I was doing some research on something else and I came across this post talking about the Senate, Yoda, and E.T., you know, from the movie E.T. And I don't know if you've seen this yet, but it's kind of a funny one. I thought we could use this for this week's Things That Make You Go Home. So let's first start out with, as everyone remembers, Yoda is a well-known figure in the Senate chamber. I mean, he's obviously the main guy as far as the Jedi Council and all that. So everybody knows Yoda, right? And then we've also seen E.T. creatures exist in the Star Wars universe. They can clearly be seen in the Senate chamber in episode 2. I don't know if you remember that shot, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got that. Okay. So stay with me here, folks. I know you're like, what the heck's going on? So let's go to the movie E.T. In E.T., he comes to Earth and he meets Elliot, of course. And Elliot, the young kid, we see him playing with Star Wars toys, which makes kind of sense to me because it was Steven Spielberg. Him and George are obviously very close, and they've kind of done stuff like this in their movies before. And then, if you guys remember E.T., you'll know this. E.T., they go out, him and Elliot and I think his brother, they go out for Halloween. They go trick-or-treating, and they put E.T., they just throw a sheet over him. He's a ghost, right? Well, they're walking down the street, and another kid dressed as Yoda comes by, and E.T. actually follows, and here's a quick clip of what he says. So he's actually, Chris, he's actually following the Yoda character, the Yoda kid dressed as Yoda, saying home, home, home. So towards the end of E.T., he actually makes Elliot and the bike fly. They're flying around. Well, how is he doing this, Chris? I think E.T. is using the Force. So that must mean that E.T. is a Jedi. What does everybody think about that? I saw that, Chris, and I started laughing because it's kind of funny, and it kind of makes you go, huh, well, it's kind of stupid, but hey, we've seen, you know, in this particular segment, I've gotten pretty crazy before. I thought this would fit perfectly into this particular segment. E.T. is a Jedi. What else could explain him flying around a bike with Elliot on it than him not having the Force? What do you think, Chris? You remember this movie, E.T.?
Oh, yes, yes, very
probably
much.
I never thought about that. I just blew your mind, right?
No. I remember the post, too. I remember seeing that post you were talking about, too. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's going around right now, actually. A lot more. Steve Stanton, a friend of ours, actually posted it. I was like, oh, I was going to use that. But
I don't want to necessarily say he's a Jedi. I just, okay.
It's just funny, yeah.
Yeah, he's a Force user. So, yeah, to me that was fantastic that they made that connection and then put the ETs in the Senate like that. I just thought that was a nice, neat little connection.
Yeah, it's just like everything kind of connected, and I never even thought of that.
I hadn't thought of it either until I saw the post.
It's just funny, you know. Obviously, it's not. It's obviously a joke, but it's still funny to look at and go, oh, wow. I mean, it kind of makes sense. I just
hey, we could still see it in episode 7 or something, you know.
We could still see an E.T. creature in there. Yeah, that's funny.
I'll take E.T. I just don't want to see no Goofy or Mickey Mouse in there.
Yeah, no, we don't need to see that. Let's not go that far. So that was this week's Things That Make You Go, Chris, you ready to get into our topic for this week?
Yeah, let's get to it.
All right.
Hello there. You're listening to the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, an elegant podcast for a more civilized age. You can go about your business. Move along. Move along.
All right, Chris. Today, like I said earlier, we're going to be talking about some of our favorite lines in the Star Wars trilogy, our favorite funny lines. We're going to do a little comedy today in the Sarlacc Pit Podcast. You know, not necessarily comedy, but you talk about the films of Star Wars, especially the OT. There's a lot of one of the biggest reasons that the original trilogy is so loved is that it has a lot of humor in it, tremendous humor throughout this, especially the OT. We'll get into a little bit of the PT in a minute, but everybody talks about the mist and the special effects, Chris, the music, the sound, but hey, you got to talk about this. I mean, there's a lot of funny moments. There's a lot of funny lines in the trilogy. We're going to talk about that today. And we got some of, I mean, and let's just take this and explain this right now. There's no way, Chris, that we're going to get into every single funny line because there's actually a lot of funny lines in this trilogy, in this saga.
Yes, there is.
But these are just some of our favorite ones. I'm sure you, people that are listening have your own favorites, but we're going to try to hit a bunch of different eras. I got some stuff from Clone Wars. I got some stuff from the PT, the OT. So hopefully we'll get to some of the ones that you guys think are funny. Chris, you want me to start off?
Do you have any honorable mentions?
I don't. I just have a bunch of funny lines that I thought were great. So not necessarily funny lines, but
let me do my honorable mention. I don't have any audio clips. All of mine that I have audio clips for from the original trilogy. Because, like you said, it was just one of those things that when I start thinking about funny lines, everything that pops in my head is from the original trilogy. But there are a couple that kind of jump out that stick in my memory from episode 2 and then one from the Clone Wars. So one from the Clone Wars, and I don't remember the name of the episode, but it was in that little trilogy of the zombie trilogy on Geonosian.
Oh, yeah.
You might have this one because we talked about it before. It was so funny where Obi-Wan picks up one of the worms and he wants to keep it. Well, Anakin grabs it from him and stomps on it and kills it. And he's like, I wanted to study that. And he goes, well, study the bottom of my boot. I mean, to me, that was so funny and cracked me up so much. And I was just like, oh, my, that just made it right there for me. It was just the banter back and forth between them two, and that one was just so funny at the time. It still is. It still cracks me up when I see it. Now, from episode 2, I had two quick ones. So one that always cracked me up was when they land to go into the droid factory, and you got R2 and 3PO sitting on the ship by themselves, and R2's determined to come and follow. He goes to leave, And 3PO's frustrated with him because he's not listening, and they just, oh, idiot, at the end. And that just always cracked me up, just
right.
him right. just being frustrated with the stubborn droid. And then, of course, the other one that kind of cracked me up in episode 2 with Obi-Wan is when they actually get caught and they're tying them to the stakes, those big pillars.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I came to rescue you, Master. And he looks up, good job. And
yeah,
I'm like, that is just... That is just typical Anakin. So, but
well,
I have 10 clips, and you have about 10, so we'll kick it over to you to get started on, you know, and then we can kind of talk more about them.
Well, since you brought up that one, I'm going to go ahead and play it, because this is actually one of, going into the Clone Wars, they actually did show some humor, and that was exactly the one of the ones that I wanted to highlight was,
you're coming with us. Oh. Look out! What? Anakin, no! God! What are you doing? I was going to study that!
Study the bottom of my boot! Come on, let's get out of here!
See, there you go, Chris. That's one of your favorites. One of my favorites, too. And you know what it was? Is because it kind of reinforces that bond that the two had, and they can trade quips with each other just so easily and just like that. And for Anakin, like, he's not necessarily like the comedic guy. He's always pretty serious about things, pretty serious about his relationship with Padme and all that. So to hear him actually go on a limb like that and be a little funny was kind of a surprise, and actually made you laugh. You're like, oh, that was a great line. So the Clone Wars there showing you a little bit of humor. And like I said, from Anakin, you don't hear stuff from Anakin that much, so I thought that was good. And you also – actually, so that was one of my top, you know, funny lines in the saga. You want to start another one of yours, Chris?
Yeah, let's see. Okay, this one here is only 5 seconds.
You know, that little droid's going to cause me a lot of trouble.
Oh, he excels at that.
Yeah.
To me, it's one that I don't hear very often. People don't mention that very often, but I love 3PL's response to that. He just, you know, that little droid's going to cause me a lot of trouble, and then he just... instantly, oh, he excels at that. That's just
right.
That's a funny line. Using the word excels, he excels at causing trouble. I mean, we're talking about a droid here, so.
Especially coming from those two. I mean, you know, they're the Abbott and Costello of the saga. That love-hate relationship that they have. Always some funny lines coming from those two. Let's go to, I got another one. Here's one that come from the original trilogy, Star Wars.
Right above you, stand by.
You hear nothing? You're braver than I thought.
Nice. Come on.
So this one, Chris, comes from Leia. And like I said earlier, you could probably do a whole show on funny lines just from Han. And you could probably do one just from Leia, especially in Star Wars. I mean, she is just one to have all these quips and throw out these jabs that she's right in the middle. And this is why we love this character so much. I mean, She's able to throw in this dig to Han right in the middle of danger, right? Right in the middle of everything that's going on. They're trying to get out, and she's able to throw a quip, you know, just a jab at Han, like, you know, you came in that bucket of bolts is basically what she's trying to say. You know, they're in this security prison. They're trying to bust out, and she's cracking jokes about Han's ride. You know, it's just when you think about it that way, you go, that's a pretty funny line. I like that one. So that... one of a couple coming from me from Leia and
yeah.
the original trilogy.
Yeah, she's, I mean, they get her out, and as soon as they get her out, she's bitching. And
yeah,
she's, you
exactly.
know,
yeah.
gets to this point, she's, I mean, oh, there she is. You came in that thing? Oh,
yeah.
My God. It's like, you're very, you always wonder, is she talking about it looking like crap, or is she talking about the size of it? You're braver than I thought. I guess it's just because she looks at it, and it's all beat up and what a piece of junk, like Luke says.
Yeah,
so
right.
He's like, great,
yeah.
We're going to get out of here on that thing? Okay.
You know what's funny is, like, we see the Millennium Falcon as, like, the coolest ship ever, but apparently in the Star Wars universe, it's a piece of junk. So that's kind of how you look at it when she says that. Like, wow, it must be not a great ship. So, but that thing is... one of our favorite.
Yeah. They're going by
it's like,
looks.
It's like a character for us, you know.
Yeah, exactly. They're going by looks, and he's going by what he's got. So,
right.
All right. Well, my next one here, it's 33 seconds long, and I know it's long, but You'll understand why.
Everything's under control. Situation normal.
What happened?
Had a slight weapons malfunction, but everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
We're sending a squad up.
Negative. We have a reactor leak here now. Give us a few minutes to lock it down. Large leak, very dangerous.
Who is this? What's your operating number?
Boring conversation anyway. Whoa! We're gonna have company!
Everything about this is funny.
Yeah.
The look on his face, his mannerisms, the way he moved, everything. It's just ridiculously funny at this point, and he's just like, I'm Mr. Cool, and he is just so horribly bad at this part.
Yeah, this is my favorite clip of all time. This is my fun, you know, the funniest line I've, this whole, the way he does this is just, it's got to be number one for me. And, you know, maybe I'll save that for the end. I'll have some more comments about that, because okay. I got to talk about this more with you, Chris, at the very end, because I'll save it for the end.
Okay.
But I love it. It's obviously my favorite right here. I'm going to take you to, let's go to episode two. You mentioned this already, so I'm going to go ahead and play it, this particular one with Anakin and Obi-Wan.
I was beginning to wonder if you'd got my message.
I retransmitted it just as you had requested, Master. Then we decided to come and rescue you.
Good job.
So, you mentioned it earlier, Chris, one of my favorites. And you know who the one that kind of takes the mantle from Han, or as far as quips and funny lines in the PT, is Obi-Wan. I mean, he has some great stuff throughout the PT, and this is just one of those where he's, you know, this is Anakin, his pupil, right? And he throws in this dig, and what makes it also so funny is the way he looks up at, like, do you notice we're in chains? He kind of gives him a look like, yeah, nice going here. You know, this is great. Good work. And it, just the whole thing, the way he says it, the way he looks, and the way Anakin reacts, makes it one of the funniest lines for me in the saga. So I'm definitely on you with your, you mentioned this earlier, I'm right there with you. I love this line. What do you got next?
One of the best. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. This one is 15 seconds and it has two lines, in one.
Could be worse.
It's worse.
Blast it all if I touch down! Where? Anywhere!
That, just him saying worse and the look on his face, it's just always been one of my favorites. It could be worse, and he just said, it's worse.
Again, right in the middle of danger, Chris. Right in the middle of danger. And I love Luke's response, too. I mean, I don't know if you meant to put that in there, but his response, Han saying, where do you want me to shoot him?
Yes, it's just, I love that. Han is like, I'm in control. I had everything in control until you let us down here. I'm cocky. I'm the one that's in charge. And then when Luke says, shoot him, will you? And he comes back with, where?
Yeah.
I'm like, really? And I love his response is just anywhere. It's like, I don't care. Shoot me, shoot him. Just get it off of me.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna keep you guys in the trash compactor, and this is one of the ones that I always thought was funny, especially growing up as a kid.
Garbage chute is a really wonderful idea. What an incredible smell you discovered.
This is one of those, Chris, as a kid, just hearing, and just the way he's saying it, they just get down there. I mean, and he's already on, already hates this idea of this princess trying to run the show. And now he feels like she's led them into this death trap. And he wastes no time in displaying his sarcasm of how crappy of a situation they're in, especially with that line. What an incredible smell you've discovered. I mean, oh, man. Yeah.
To me, it's a role reversal. I mean, as soon as she gets out, she starts complaining. He says, well, maybe you'd like it back at your cell.
Yeah.
And then right when they get down there, he's, what an incredible smell you discovered. This is much better.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Great line. That whole trash compactor scene. I mean, everything going on in that last that part of the movie. And there's some great stuff between Han and Leia. And I got one more from sort of that time frame that we'll get from Leia in a few minutes. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I might be taking it because here's another clip that's right around that.
Okay.
And this one's 6 seconds.
It's a wonder he's still alive. Will somebody get this big walking carpet out of my way?
You got it. That's one of mine, too.
I mean, as a kid, I remember just thinking that was just hysterical. I had this imagery of the carpet walking, and it was just it was so funny as a kid because I didn't think of it. I'm just, you know, hey, it's an ape-type character that she sets a walking carpet. I'm just like, oh my God, that's just perfect.
She is sassy. She is a sassy girl, man. Yeah, definitely. And he's, you know, Chewie's obviously walking right in front of her, and she's trying to do her thing. She's trying to lead this ragtag group along, and this giant, you know, hairy ape is in front of her, and she just has to throw another jab at Han's best friend there. That's a great one. That was obviously on my list, too. That was going to play that next. Good stuff.
Big walking carpet.
Yeah, definitely. Let's go to I'm gonna take you to, here's a strange one. You might think, wait a minute, how is this a funny line? But because we don't really see Darth Vader as like a funny character, but in a different way, this is funny. Check this out.
I hope so, Commander, for your sake. The Emperor is not as forgiving as I am.
Yes. So like I said, Chris, you don't normally think of Vader as a funny character, but when you hear this line and you think about it for a minute, it's almost like it kind of comes out funny because you realize that at this point, we didn't see the Emperor very much. I mean, we saw him a little bit in a holograph and whatever, a hologram, and you'll meet him later on. So to have a character like Darth Vader who's chopped off arms, who's choked people out, force choke people to death, and just this overall bad character, for him to say, I hope so, Commander, for your sake, because he's not as forgiving as I am, that is a funny line when you think about it. And you can see the lump in his throat. I think it's Jar Gerard when he hears that. Obviously, he doesn't think it's funny, but as an audience, we look at that and go, wow, that is funny in its own way to me, especially being a Darth Vader fan. So I had to throw that one in there. Not a funny ha-ha line, but when you think about it, it's
that's always it's a good been the funny one, yeah, because you'd hear it and you'd be like, oh, yeah, right. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
so I got one from Vader in there. Yep. Crazy, huh? Got a funny line from Vader. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, here's another one that's, you know, I'm surprised. I thought we wouldn't have hardly any the same. It looks like we're having quite a few, so this one might be yours as well. This one is 25 seconds.
I don't know where you get your delusions, laser brain.
Laugh it up, fuzzball. But you didn't see us alone in the South Passage. She expressed her true feelings for me.
Why, you stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder!
Who's scruffy looking?
Oh, yes.
That one always, I mean, you start out with Chewie laughing, just always cracked me up. And then his comeback is one of your favorites, Laugh It Up, Fuzzball.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact
that's
that
always been.
Yeah. She throws all them insults at him, and the one he takes offense to is scruffy looking. It's just always, but okay, yeah. But yeah. I always loved Chewie laughing. I was just like, oh, my God, yes, yes. You get to see some more emotion out of Chewie.
That was my favorite. I remember being a kid and having the VCR tape, folks, and rewinding that. Me and cousins and my brother, we rewind that particular scene. Just where he says, when Chewie's laughing and Han looks at him like, and he says the Laugh It Up Fuzzball, we used to rewind that and just play that line over and over and just crack up every time. Just the delivery and the way he says it, the reaction to Chewie laughing, that line has always been one of those fun. I didn't even include it on here because I figured I would talk about it anyway. that as a kid, we used to, like I said, we would round that all the time and just played it over and over and over again. Great line, laugh at it. Now, like I said, we could have done, you could have done 10 or 15 just on Han. He's just fantastic.
Funny yes.
character. Let's go to, I'm going to take you back, Chris, to the Clone Wars season 5 and this funny clip from one of the standout characters in the series.
Jiro, ready the men. We're leaving.
My men aren't going anywhere with you. Look at them. How powerful can they be? They are running away from Kenobi.
Filth. You will pay for your insolence.
Insolence? We are pirates. We don't even know what that means. Open fire.
I remember doing the Frontlines podcast, and I was just floored by this line because it came out of nowhere. And Hondo has become, he's just one of those characters, like along with Ahsoka, he's just found a niche, and he's a fan favorite of Star Wars fans coming out of the Clone Wars, new character coming out of the Clone Wars, and just his line, insolence. We don't even know that, you know, they're pirates. Exactly. That's exactly the way pirates are. They're dumb. They're just in it for money. They're not going to be as sophisticated as, I guess, Darth Maul claims to be with this line. But just the delivery, the performance by, I think it's Jim Cummings who does Hondo Anaka in the series. Great line, funny line. That was just one of those lines where I heard that. I kind of laughed because I didn't expect that. And it was a great line out of that series. And that's the second one I featured now out of the Clone Wars. So even yep. the Clone Wars has some funny lines. Hondo Anaka, fan favorite.
Yes.
Saying insolence. We're pirates. We don't even know what that means. Great, funny lines.
Hondo Anaka is one of the best characters. They did such a wonderful job. And he's a perfect character. He plays both sides, any side. He plays every side for profit. Mm-hmm. And right. one thing I always found interesting with his character is he seemed to respect Obi-Wan. Because butt heads or, you know, all the time, but he seemed to understand how Kenobi was and he knew how the Jedi were. So he's just like, well, they're Jedi. What can you do? It's kind of his attitude towards it. So. But yeah, that was kind of a surprising line. That kind of cracked me up too because I'm like, oh wow, I'm using big words here.
Yeah, good stuff.
Okay, well, like I said, I'm all in the original trilogy. I mean, the original trilogy, and I'm into Empire as we are. And here's another 6-second clip. It's just hysterical.
How's this?
Would it help if I got out and pushed?
Captain said it. Captain said it.
Might.
The imagery that one always gives me is just makes me laugh so hard because I just visualize her at the back pushing, standing outside with all the stormtroopers and snowtroopers, and she's trying to push it, give it a push.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was actually one of the ones that I had on my list, Chris, as being like, I just started writing down some funny lines, and I guess I didn't want to use a ton of hand. I tried to mix it up, but he was definitely, I guess if you call it an honorable mention. That was one of the ones I had written down as being a funny line that I didn't feature on the episode. But yeah, definitely that whole pushing and then getting out. And this, I mean, it just further solidifies that relationship that they had. It was, you know, always kind of bagging on each other, but it was tinged with a little bit of attraction or whatever. So good stuff. From hand, I got some more of that too coming up. Hey, I'm going to take you to Star Wars and C-3PO, and this is a quick one, and you got to kind of listen carefully. But when you hear it, I think I know what this is. Okay, let's see if you know.
I suppose you're programmed for etiquette and protocol.
Protocol? Why, it's my primary function, sir. I am well versed in all the customs.
I have no need for a protocol droid.
Of course you haven't, sir. Not in an environment such as this. That is why I have been programmed.
What I really need is a droid who understands the binary language of moisture evaporators.
Evaporators? Sir, my first job was programming binary load lifters, very similar to your evaporators in most respects.
Can you speak Bocce?
Of course I can, sir. It's like a second language to me. I'm a
All right, shut up. I'll take this.
Shutting up, sir.
Luke!
I don't know if you caught it there, but he says, "Shutting up, sir." Like I said, it's quick, and maybe the first time you see it, or you might not hear it, but Oh, it's a subtle line, but it's a classic joke. I mean, Uncle Owen, he tells C-3PO to shut up. And in order to really make Uncle Owen think he's listening, you know, C-3PO says, shutting up, sir. And, you know, he wants to please this new guy. Obviously, this is a guy who's looking to use him to work on the farm. And, well, I mean, you get the rest. I mean, C-3PO is actually really bad at being, you know, subservient. He's kind of got that, I don't know, not necessarily like, he's not bad at it, but it's just this particular line. He's trying to please.
He's a brown noser.
Yeah, he's kind of brown nosing. Yeah, he's just like, hey, shut up, sir. Whatever you want. I'm right here. As long as you take me along. I don't want to be in this Jawa sandcrawler anymore. Whatever you need. So subtle line, but a funny line coming from C-3PO. You're up, Chris.
Yes, that to me and what else that always cracked me up and one. That makes it even better is R2's reaction when 3PO gets into Thick kissing his butt. R2 kind of looks over at him like, are you kidding me? It's the look on his face. And we'll have to do a show down the road, the funniest moments from R2, because there's so many.
Yeah.
Because when I'm sitting here making this list, I keep having these from R2 pop in my head, but he's not talking. He's just, you know, R2's R2. So.
Right.
But that's something we'll have to do at a later show. That'll be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely plenty that we can do. Here's my next one still from Empire, and this one is 9 seconds. And this, I believe, is one of Matt's favorites as well.
All right, sir, let's get out of here!
It's Empire is still out there! I don't think it's right!
No time to discuss this in committee!
I am not a committee!
Yes.
Such anger in her voice when she says that. And he doesn't care. He's...
No. Yeah.
He's just like, no, we're taking off. I don't care what you say. I'm not discussing this in a committee. And that's just hilarious to me that he uses that word.
Yeah, no, and she does it, and she turns it right back around on him, which is great, too. Like I said, just these two, God, they're so good together.
Was that on your list?
No, it was on the alternate list. Like, I just put a bunch of stuff down and had to throw a bunch out because there was so many Han, you know. It's like, God, he's got so many great lines in the chemistry
well,
between
like you
us
say,
two.
He's money.
Yeah, well, here's another one coming from Han right here. Check this out.
There's nothing to see. I used to live here. You're going to die here. Convenient.
So here they are again. This is one of those scenes where they're in the middle of, you know, they're on their way to their death. And even in that light, they find a way to throw some humor at us just to kind of keep us a little lighthearted as an audience, you know, even though they're going to their deaths. Here's Luke actually setting up the joke, right? Luke's actually the one that kind of sets us up and goes, hey, you know, there's nothing to see, Han. And then Han, in a moment's notice, doesn't even think about it, can come back right back and throw it right back at Luke, saying, you're going to die here. You know, it's pretty convenient that it all worked out this way. So, subtle line. And as far as, like, young audiences, you're not going to get it. But as you get older, you hear that, and it's a really funny line. So I had to put that in there. Yep. Some more Han. I have one more of Han's. I got a couple others, too. So.
All right.
Go ahead, Christian.
Well, that one was on my list, too, and I had actually – but I dropped
it. Oh, was it?
Yeah, but I dropped it.
Okay.
And actually, the part right before it, too, where he says – you know, my eyes must be getting better because instead of a big dark blur, I see a big light blur. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah. You know?
So, all right. Well, this one is my last one from Empire, and this one is 24 seconds.
Ah! We're not interested in the hyperdrive on the Millennium Falcon in space. Just open the door, you stupid lump! I never doubted you for a second. Wonderful.
Yeah. 3PO always doubts R2. That's what makes it so funny, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, calling him a stupid lump, and then the very next line, wonderful, never doubted you for a second.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, right.
That's C-3PO for you, man. He's always like, whatever the situation is, he kind of turns it back to, like you said, he's pissed at R2, and then all of a sudden everything's good, so now he's his best friend again. And that's what's so good about these two is just that chemistry that they have, too. You know, and we talk about Han and Leia, how they have this great chemistry. The same thing can be said for the, you know, R2 and 3PO. So, great line. I'm going to take you to, let's go back to the PT. And I've mentioned Obi-Wan, Ewan McGregor, as kind of the guy that kind of anchors some of the comedy in the PT. And check this out.
Use the Force. Think. Sorry, Master.
He went in there to hide, not to run.
Yes, Master.
Next time, try not to lose it.
Yes, Master.
This weapon is your life.
I try, Master.
Why do I get the feeling you're going to be the death of me?
Don't say that, Master.
Yes, and one of those lines, like I said earlier, Chris, where I remember being in the theater, and everybody, that got a laugh from everybody, because as Star Wars fans, we all know what happens, right? And for them to throw that line in there, and for the younger fans, they didn't know what the heck we were laughing at, right? And it's funny to say, it would be funny to see how somebody coming into the trilogy, if they start with the prequel trilogy, they're not going to know that's a funny line until they go back and watch it again after they've seen the whole thing. They're going to realize the irony in that particular line. So that's always a line that I thought was funny in kind of a, I don't know, morbid kind of way, you know? But still one of my favorite lines. And like I said, Obi-Wan in the PT, he's got a bunch more. He really did kind of hold the mantle of keeping the humor. I mean, I'm not talking about the stupid Jar Jar stepping in crap kind of stuff like that. I mean, just genuine funny stuff that you would kind of – that we thought of as with Han and the OT and some of the OT stuff. This kind of goes along with that too. So had to throw some more PT love in there.
Love that line. To me, that was kind of a risky line. To me, it's a line that could have fallen flat on its face and not worked, but it was said just right, and it worked.
Yeah. I mean, it did. It did get a laugh out of the audience. I remember the first time I saw that, everybody kind of chuckled at that line, like, oh, boy, you have no idea.
Yeah, it wasn't corny. I mean, when you think about it, it would be a corny line, but
right,
the way they did it and the way they played it, it worked. So, yeah, that was one of my favorites, too. And so I guess now I'll move on. I think, see, how many do I have left? I have two left.
I have, I have one left, and then actually two left, but one of them you've already heard, so.
Okay, well, this one is from moving on into Jedi, and this one's 11 seconds.
A Jedi Knight? I'm out of it for a little while. Everybody gets illusions of grandeur.
Now, yes. To me, as a kid, I didn't get that.
Yeah,
because
of course,
I didn't know what it meant until I got home and looked it up.
Yeah,
or asked my mom about it, and then looked it up. And once I found out what it meant, then it was funny.
Right.
But you know, that's just a great little line. You know, he's like, "I've been out of it for a little while, and everybody gets delusions of grandeur." I'm like, "That's a great line."
You know, that was I went through the same thing, Chris. It's funny you said that, and I'm sure a lot of fans around our age did the same thing because. You know, I saw this with my parents, and of course, all the adults in the audience were laughing at that line. You know, it's Han Solo, and he has this nice little funny quip, but we're like, I don't really get it. Why is it so funny? And then it's only later, until you kind of look it up and you understand what the heck that meant, then it's obviously a funny line. Of course, it's one of the funniest lines coming from Han, just because of the whole situation. He's been in carbon freezing, and all of a sudden he comes out of it, and his world has changed, and he's kind of having trouble coming to grips with that. It's like he's lost so much time to him, and he's kind of breaking down a little bit. Like he can't believe all the stuff that's happened since he's been in a carbon freezing chamber, and he has this line to kind of help him deal with it. And we all think it's funny, and but it is one of those lines as a kid. You're like, what does that mean? What is he talking about? Obviously, it's funny, but I don't know why. Until you can look it up, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great line.
And then once you get it, you're actually watching it, it still kind of cracks me up now. And it's the line, but it's also because Chewie's sitting there holding him and rubbing his head. And you're just like, that's just humorous. Mm-hmm. That he loves him so much that we actually get to see that connection and physicality between the two. And I mean, you see in Empire when Chewie grabs Luke and hugs him, kind of gives him a hug before he leaves. But then to see him, he doesn't just, hug Han, he holds him and rubs on him. So I got you now. I'm gonna take care of you now.
So. Yeah, exactly. I got actually two more left, and they're both surprising enough lines coming from Han Solo. So okay. Check out this. Shocker. This is one of them. Right.
It'll work.
Vader's on that ship.
Now don't get jittery, Luke. There are a lot of command ships. Keep your distance, though, Chewie. But don't look like you're trying to keep your distance. I don't know. Fly casual.
Oh my gosh! I've always this is like top two lines of at least last two, and this is how funny this line is. I mean, first of all, what the heck is flying casual? I have no idea. Does anybody know what flying casual mean? And Chewie is asking the same thing, and it's in this banter between Chewie and Han. Han's telling Chewie, hey, you know, don't look like it. And Chewie goes, he has the growl. But you think, but obviously through the growl, you're going, he's saying, well, how am I supposed to do that, Han? And then Han comes back with fly casual. And it's so funny because you're like, and they've even parodied this in The Family Guy. I mean, this is one of those lines that goes up there as one of the top lines because it's been parodied in other shows before. It's actually, Chris, the chapter title in the Blu-ray on this particular time frame. I don't know what chapter it is, but the chapter title is Fly Casual. So you know this is a big line because they made it a chapter title.
Yeah.
But it's so funny, and it's just like you think to yourself, and in the Family Guy parody, they kind of take a stab at what Flying Casual is. As everybody's seen that, knows. And like they show Tiberium walking, whistling. You know, that's Flying Casual. But yeah, it's just one of those funny lines because what the heck is Flying Casual and the banter between Han and Chewie, it just makes it. I mean, like a lot of things with Han and Chewie, just the two going together, it just makes so many great lines. But one of my favorite lines of all time, flying casual, funny stuff.
The first part of it's humorous where he says, you know, keep your distance, but don't look like you're trying to keep your distance. You're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And then when Chewie says, Chewie makes his comment, then he comes back with flying casual, you're just like, geez, man, what? You want to say, what in the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, do you fly slow? Do you fly far away? I mean, do you go close so you don't look like you're trying to be sneaky? What the heck is flying casual? Great stuff. I got one more, Chris. Of course, we've already hit it, but we got to talk about it. And have another one?
I got one. Yeah, I got my last one. And mine weren't in any order. I did mine just in order as they went through the movies.
Okay.
And this one is a 10-second clip, and this one just to me, it all as a kid, it was hysterical. But you know, as you grow up, it still cracks me up because it's silly. But here we go. The infamous bounty hunter takes a dive at by a blind Han Solo. It's just. Han played that beautifully. You know, Boba Fett, he can't have here, so he's listening to Chewie. And Boba Fett, where? And as he turns around, there he goes. So it's not so much necessarily the line it is, but it's what it leads into that makes it so funny.
Yeah. And we get the Wilhelm scream in there, too.
Yep.
I think that was the Wilhelm, wasn't it?
You get it during that scene. One of the guys going off. It's not with Boba. But,
oh, it's not with him. Yeah, right. One of the other guys. I was thinking that was it. Yeah. Oh, jeez. Han, I mean, so here's my last one. Do you have one more, Chris?
Uh-uh. That was it.
Okay. So obviously you know what my last one is, but we got to mention it one more time. And I'm actually going to play it one more time.
Yeah, let's play it one more time.
Because it's
that damn ultimate. Funny.
Yeah.
Everything's under control. Situation normal.
What happened?
Had a slight weapon malfunction. But everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
We're sending a squad up.
Negative. We have a reactor leak here now. Give us a few minutes to lock it down. Large leak, very dangerous.
Who is this? What's your operating number?
Boring conversation anyway.
I tell you what, Chris, like I'll never get tired of hearing that. But let me tell you what I thought about this. So, like I said earlier, we know we can fill up a whole list on Han Solo. But this one, this exchange with the Death Star control room guy, in Star Wars is easily the best for me. I mean, Han does his best way through this, and don't worry, I'll edit that part out. I didn't mean to say that. But he does. I mean, he does that, and the statement, quote, boring conversation anyway, is so great because Han is, he's delivering the ultimate understated line, right? The ultimate understatement. They are so screwed. I mean, the bad guys are right there, right?
Yes.
Han, they're, his ability to make a joke in the face of basically just total mayhem, this is why we love this character. I mean, I said it earlier. They, a lot of times in the face of danger, they're able to make a funny comment. And this one, it's just one of those things. And he ends it with, he kind of ends it with a nice little, hey, how are you? He tries to end it nicely too. So it's so great in so many levels. And I've got to know, I don't know this for sure. Maybe you know, Chris. I've heard stories that this whole particular scene was, kind of improv by Harrison Ford. I don't know that for sure. Have you heard anything about
that? Yeah. Our friend that did the Star Wars Begins, did the documentaries, and cutting those together, Jamie Benning, he has it in here where he says that he discovered that Harrison Ford purposely didn't learn his lines
right. So
that he could play it that way, and it works beautifully.
Yeah.
And to me, what makes it even funnier is, like you said, parodies. When you go to the Family Guy,
yeah,
them doing the parody of that is hysterical.
Cause oh, yeah.
Kicks back in his seat with headphones on, got a mic like he's on a radio show, and I'm just...
Yeah, exactly. That's so, how you know it's such a popular scene, a funny scene, one of the top, because, again, Family Guy did their own little parody on it. And I did hear some things about how he did ad-lib a lot of that or improv it. And this, sometimes I kind of give Harrison Ford a bad time because he's so blasé about Star Wars, and he's just like, oh, okay. But he really does just some – I mean, he ad-libbed or apparently ad-libbed the I Love You, I Know scene. Mm-hmm. He did this particular scene right here. And I was just going to say, whether he ad-libbed it or not, let's just say he didn't. If that was the script, I mean, he pulled it off like he was an improv, or if it was true that he did improv it. I mean, it came off perfectly, and that's why it's my number one scene. It's always been my favorite.
And you can sit there and watch that scene, and you're like, you know what? He could have just ignored that and not even answered it.
Yeah, no,
to
exactly.
To me, he caused more problems and wasted time by answering it.
Yeah, right.
And as a kid, what really got me, I thought was so funny, is that he shot the console afterwards. I'm like, yeah, like that's going to help. As a kid, that just cracked me up. I'm like, okay, he's through with the conversation, so he shoots it. And I'm just like, okay.
Right, right. You mentioned some of your honorable mentions, and I just have to say, there was one, speaking of the prequel trilogy, Anakin, he says, they're flying the ship and it gets blown in episode 3 in the very beginning. He says, we lost something. Obi-Wan says, not to worry, we're still flying half a ship. I thought that was a funny line. What was the other ones that I kind of missed? Obi-Wan, in that scene when I was talking about how he says to Anakin, you're the death of me, he goes into the bar and he says, hey, I'm going to have a drink. That was, kind of funny to hear that. He said, and then he has this whole banter with Elon Sleezbanano about the death sticks.
Yes,
that and was using another the one. Force to do that. I thought that was a funny line. So yeah, there's definitely plenty of stuff out there. I mean, we could have gone on and on and on. I'm sure you guys have your own favorites that are listening, but it's just this combination. Is when you talk about the saga, it's the combination of, like I said earlier, the special effects, the sound, the music, and some of this comedy that makes this series so excellent and so memorable. It's all that stuff. And it's not like breaking the fourth wall. It's just snarky, funny, sarcastic humor. And all that combined makes Star Wars what it is. And hopefully, Chris, they can continue that in the new sequel trilogy with Abrams. And I think Abrams can do that. I think he's got him and Kasdan doing some things, especially with Harrison Ford back and Leia, Carrie Fisher. I think he can just slide right back into that same old snarky humor. So I'm looking forward to see what they do.
I think this will be an excellent meeting of the minds sort of thing. Because, like you said, you have J.J. Abrams, but we also have Lawrence Kasdan, who can write a screen, a script better than anybody.
Right.
And then you have Han and Leia and Luke, who embody these characters. And, you know, it shouldn't take them much to be able to pick up those characters and play them the same.
Yeah.
And plus, they'll have a lot of say-so in what happens. And
right.
I found it very interesting, too, that, you know, Han Solo, I should say Han Solo, but Harrison Ford really didn't want to come back and do Return of the Jedi. He was suggesting they kill him off, but yet now he's coming back. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, they've done something with his character or just his input that enables him to, or maybe it's just at a point in his life where he's okay with returning to that character.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he always said that there's not much more that I could do with Han, but Indiana Jones I can play all day long. Well, yeah, he can because that's an exceptional character. And what they do with those stories is they're just telling stories in his life. It's not a continuation of one story like in Star Wars, so that does make it a little more difficult. So,
but yeah, I think, well, like you're saying, Harrison Ford, and he's coming back, and he's coming back to, I mean, look who he's coming back to, Kasdan and J.J. Abrams, who's obviously one of the top filmmakers of our generation right now. So I think those combining those facts mm-hmm. and this new cast, and it's like a whole new thing. And I think maybe that kind of turned his mind around a little bit. And then also, like, is he going to get the free rein like he did in the original trilogy? Is J.J. going to let him kind of, in certain scenes, is he going to let him do a couple takes where he can improv or kind of throw in maybe what he thinks? Because that's what they did in Empire, right? That's
yes.
what they said, hey, don't think about it. What would Han say? And then he came out with the I love you, I know thing. So maybe they'll do some takes where they say, hey, Harrison or whoever, just go ahead and whatever comes in your mind. What do you think Han would say? You know, you're Han, so go for it. We'll see yeah. what happens if they
I
do
think,
that.
Yeah, I think that the three main characters, well, all of them in general, will have a huge say-so in how things play out.
Yeah, definitely. So that was it, man. We hope you guys enjoyed some of our favorite funny lines from the saga. Did they match up with yours? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe you have some of your own. Be sure to go on the Facebook page and let us know. Or even if you feel like calling in for the next show and saying, hey, you forgot about this funny line or that funny line, go ahead and do it. You know where to find us, man, Facebook. And Chris, you want to let them know? Is there anything else, actually, before we kind of sign off here, you want to mention?
No, just no, other than our Facebook pages, obviously, facebook.com/Sarlacc Pit Podcast, and then other pages that we have, Classic Star Wars, Lego Star Wars, Style and Beyond, Toys from the 80s. I know people that are our age will love that page.
Mm-hmm.
Battlestar Galactica 1978, if anybody's original BSG fans, which we're getting a tremendous amount of activity on that page. It's just been awesome for me. I've enjoyed interacting with people that love it like I do, unlike people like Matt here that probably didn't really care for it. And,
oh, I remember BSG, yeah.
And I, you know, and the thing that's funny to me is Mark has never even seen it. I'm like,
oh, really?
Really? Yeah. I mean, I know he's a few years younger than me and you, but still, come on, man. But anyway.
Yeah, that was kind of our TV show for... You know, obviously we were Star Wars fans, but
oh yeah,
you know, it was science fiction. Hey, give it a shot. It was a TV show. I remember all those. Remember back in the day. I remember going to Universal Studios and seeing the Cylons.
Oh,
the old style, obviously Cylons.
Yeah.
So.
See, I couldn't see that because I live way over here.
Yeah. But hey, you know, like I said, feel free to contact us and let us know if you thought we missed a couple of the funny lines. But we thank you guys for listening, and we're back. Sarlacc Pit is back. We've had. Obviously, we had a little break there, a little hiatus, but we're going to try to keep going here. If you have any ideas for shows, if you want to hear us break down a certain top five or anything, be sure to let us know. You know, the Facebook page, go there. Let us know what you think, or Classic Star Wars, or whatever. Check those out. So
that's a great idea.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely. So thanks for listening and making us part of your Star Wars day. And for Chris, my name is Matt. We will see you guys next time in the Sarlacc Pit.
Thank you for joining us on the Sarlacc Pit, the official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com. Star Wars, its logo, and all things in the Star Wars universe are the property of Lucasfilm Limited. All rights reserved. All original content within this podcast, unless otherwise indicated, is the intellectual property of GalacticBinder.com and YodasNews.com.